Hi, it's Diane, and we are here with the Tuesday at 2 group on December 16th, here with Christy and Jeannie. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
So let's start with just a quick check-in. How have things been going since our last call?
Well, Diane, I wasn't on the last call, but honestly, things haven't been... I haven't been the best. Actually, my husband has been harder than my own kids because he has ADD. So that's the truth. So it's been up and down.
It's hard sometimes just kind of managing or helping our spouses manage their ADD or helping to tolerate our spouse's ADD depending on the situation can be hard as well. So sorry you're going through that, Jamie.
Yeah.
Mia and Amanda, I see you both. Hi, guys.
Hi.
We're just doing a quick check-in. So Jeannie checked in. Christy, what's going on with you guys?
It's actually been a little calmer. We haven't had anything broken in the house or shattered this week, so that's a win.
Yay, something to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do on last time's topic? Were you working on managing triggers?
Say that again.
Were you working on managing triggers?
Well, we've been working on that for a long time. So that has helped decrease the frequency of his outbursts. So trying to get to the point where we can get him to get buy-in that he needs to calm down, that it's beneficial for him to calm down.
Well, if I remember, managing your triggers is kind of more balanced. It's more about his triggers than anything else.
Yeah, I've definitely managed mine a lot better in the last year for sure, which has helped him stay calmer, yes.
And I think you were going to focus in on getting some buy-in from him last time. I think that was part of what you talked about. Were you able to take some action there, and what were you able to do?
Have not really gotten anything there. I've talked to his counselor. That was what my action step was, to email her and talk to her, because one of your suggestions was about just having him maybe yell for 15 seconds as loud as he can to just get out some frustration in a quick burst of energy or something. And so I emailed her about that, and she didn't seem to think Caleb would either do that or that. I don't know. It didn't really go anywhere, I guess. Right now, the struggle is that he doesn't see a problem. He doesn't think it's a big deal that he's so destructive and hurtful. So she's really working with him to try to bring him awareness to see what his behaviors are doing to others.
Okay. Good. Well, and so sometimes that's the first key in the buy-in, is if they understand that it's a problem and it becomes a problem for them as well. Or if they can see how it's a problem for other people, that can help kind of get them more at the table.
Yeah.
Okay. I see that April joined us as well. Hi, April.
Hi.
So, Mia, how are things going for you guys?
We have been absent for a lot. We've had pneumonia and our dog died. So we've had a lot of
stuff
going on in our life, but... we've also been enjoying the miracle of medication. Can I just say that? It's astonishing the difference that medication has made for my daughter, and I resisted it for so long. So I've been sort of processing that, you know, regret. I wish I'd known that this would work out so well, because it really helps with her dyslexia too. But it's managing triggers was actually manageable with her now, especially during the morning. She's reachable, and we've kind of reached a point where she'll snap, and then she'll say, "Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to talk to you like that." And it's really sad to say, but as a mom, I'm so proud of her for recognizing when she's not using her kind words and being able to recognize it right then. And it's just, anyway. So as much as it's been kind of a rough couple, 3 weeks now, we've seen progress. So I'm trying to be grateful for that.
Well, and I love that. I mean, I think it's great that you're doing some celebrating. It seems, you know, it may seem odd, but I can guarantee you it helps all of us if we can focus on what's working, even if it's little stuff, kind of take their eye off of the stuff that's heavier and more frustrating. So congratulations for that step.
I know. People still stare at us and stare at things, and, you know, it's like, whatever, people. You don't know what a big step this is.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So, Amanda, what's up with you guys?
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
I have kind of taken a step back from the group while just trying to get my head above water within our life, and now things are feeling a little more manageable, and so I'm back on the call. And I'm sorry that I did miss the other one, because I'm currently thinking about my kids' triggers and maybe even my husband's triggers. So I'm really interested in this call, and I'm going to go back and listen to the other one. So I'm looking forward to it.
Good, good. And you know how to get back to the recordings and everything? Amanda?
I think you had a link in the email that you sent out to previous calls.
Yep, we did. So that makes sense. So, it's also in the members section of the site is where it is. So if you go just to the homepage, you can click on the button at the top on the right-hand side.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good. April, what about you? You want to do a quick check-in before we move to taking names? Actually, why don't you do both? Do a check-in and then tell us where you want to take aim, because we're going to talk about perspectives today.
Well, let's see. We didn't get accomplished what we necessarily set out to do, but we had a lot of positives come out. Homework has been a real struggle getting him to accept help, and his teacher actually sat down with him and went through again, and he came to us twice asking for help on homework, where he said, "I don't think I did it right. Will you please help me? I need this reviewed." And we both kind of stood there flabbergasted, but celebrated. And we also had, he was at church, and he's really good with his hands in engineering and visual spatial. And someone had said, he just thinks differently than other people, but he is so smart, and just kind of, she told him to, and he'd won the contest, and it was just validating for him. Small things, but kind of big steps for us.
Wow. Well, you know, it's like I said before, it's about taking it where it comes and celebrating the steps forward and continuing to stay diligent when it doesn't move as forward as we want it to. And so good for you.
Yeah. I still plan on taking aim this again with kind of really watching where his triggers are. Sometimes I'm finding that I don't know what's going on at school socially, and I'm finding that's a trigger that I wasn't giving enough credence to.
Great. Well, and I know that for Amanda, I think that's one of the things that we talked a little bit about in at least a couple of the groups last time, was maybe even keeping a trigger journal. Where you're really kind of just, you know, even if it's at the end of the day, you're just kind of reflecting, you know, who lost it when and what was going on just before that. And so you can begin to become more aware of what are some of the transitions that are causing triggers, or what are some of the situations. And it could be your own, it could be your spouse's, it could be your kids, but just kind of becoming more conscious through, you know, documenting, and you're doing kind of research here to figure out what's going on. So that might be helpful. All right, so our topic today, so we're on, I can't believe it, we're on week number 8. Yay! And we're going back through the critical response areas and highlighting one of, one of many tools that kind of sit within that area. We're back kind of around the bend to parenting positively, and we want to talk about perspectives. And so before I jump into the topic, let's have everybody just kind of say, where are you taking aim for the next couple weeks? We're getting ready for a holiday, so it might be a break, holidays and break from school, depending on, you know, your situation. But tell me what you're going to take aim on for the next couple weeks. Chris, do you want to go back to you?
I'm going to try. This will be a hard holiday for us. It'll be our first Christmas without my husband. So I'm going to take aim on trying to help Caleb kind of name his emotions instead of just get angry about everything. I'm going to try to help him. I don't know how to word it. Just acknowledge how hard it is for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does, and that's a great tool. It's one of the tools I love to start with. It's just acknowledging and validating, and kind of, you know, if you can see that he's getting emotional, and you can say something like, you know, you can say, get curious and say, hey, dude, what's going on? Or, hey, buddy, what's going on with you? You look a little upset. If you can get him to communicate about it, and then that gives you the next step, which is, wow, I can tell that's really upsetting from you. So, you know, a lot of us tend to move right to problem solving. And so if we take that step to kind of acknowledge and validate where they're at first, we can go a long way into getting buy-in. So if you can say, wow, I can see you're really upset, this totally stinks, or, you know, whatever it is in terms of validating for him, then you can move to problem solving after that. And it helps so that they don't feel like their emotions are diminished. So the other thing I would say, Christy, if I can coach you for just a second, because I've known you a while, you know, be gentle on yourself this Christmas. It sounds like it's not going to be the easiest for you. And so, you know, do some things to take care of yourself as well.
Thanks.
Okay. Jeannie, where are you going to take aim?
I'm going to take aim on just responding instead of reacting to situations.
So can you give me some particular situation where you find it really difficult to avoid the reaction?
Well, right now there are situations going on with my husband, with my son Ryan, the younger one, you know, 12-year-old and a 15-year-old son, and mm-hmm. trying to explain to him what's going on with his dad without getting too deep about it and just reacting to the situation. I mean, there's things going on with my husband because he does have ADD. He's not even, he knows he does, but he's not doing anything about it. And just kind of reacting to him and reacting to Ryan because he's getting very upset and very emotional about everything. And I can't play into that and just be calm and talk to him without giving him too much information.
Right. So what I'm hearing is that you want to find a way to support your son in his relationship with his dad and not let your own stuff get in the way. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's a tough situation to be in, Jeannie. You're in good company, but it's not easy. I know that from personal experience.
Yeah, especially when he doesn't want to do anything about it. He doesn't want to work. It's all me. I want to punch him there, but that's not going to help anything. He doesn't want to acknowledge that it's a real issue that's causing serious problems with his own son. And I'm not right.
Well, and I'm hopeful that our conversation today about perspectives, and I know we talked a little bit about different perspectives last time on the call. Hopefully that will help you a little bit with this situation, Jeannie, because it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mia, what about you? Where are you going to take aim?
I feel like I'm going back to the beginning, but we're trying to take care of I keep failing on taking care of myself and exercising and managing my stress. So we now have a new family schedule to go to the gym. We're all going together after school to hopefully get the kids in swim lessons and my husband and I all working out, because we realize if we want to teach the kids the importance of this, we need to model it. And so let's just all dive in on the holiday week before all the relatives descend and stress us all out even more.
Awesome. Awesome. Great.
Fingers crossed.
Okay.
So maybe the 17th
fingers crossed
will be the charm. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, we'll see how perspective ties into that as well. So, Amanda, what about you? Where do you want to take aim?
Sorry. I would like to take aim on using kind words.
me doing a better job when I'm frustrated and harried and trying to hit my time marks and, you know, shepherd the kids and our daily schedule to hit the time marks, as well as helping the kids to be aware and use kind words. And trying to maybe model or help my husband use kind words. He also has unmedicated ADHD. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Kind words.
Okay.
To get what we need instead of unkind words, to get what we need.
But it sounds like both, it's a challenge for both you and for the kids. Is that right? Or for the whole family?
Yeah, whole family.
Okay, great. April, where do you want to take aim? You said trigger management. I did hear that. Sorry, I wrote it down. Sorry. Anything you want to add back in since we're coming back around to you?
Sorry, I'm running to grab it off the mute. We're traveling at Christmas, and I'm really trying also to be calm and not to be embarrassed of Nathaniel when we're with all of my family and siblings, that you know what, Nathaniel is who he is, and me getting embarrassed is one of my trigger points in front of people, so I need to be calm and do the things that will help keep me calm. Hopefully go on walks in the morning, not to stay up too late, that sort of thing.
Okay. So, great. So we're going to talk today about perspectives. And if I have to tell you this, that, you know, in all my coaching and all my clients, really kind of looking at the way we look at situations and kind of getting really granular in this topic can be so tremendously helpful. And I think that part of the reason for that, it's kind of twofold. One is that there's a connection to perspective to the triggers. And when we talked last time about the triggers, and we talked about the four steps to managing the threat cycle and how to handle triggers. It was recognizing your triggers, reclaiming your brain, choosing a perspective, and moving forward with that different perspective. So really kind of understanding the perspective that you have that gets in your way, you know, how am I looking at this situation right now? What am I assuming about this situation? And then finding a new way to look at it is the one thing that really is very helpful in moving us forward. And the quote I love, and I can't remember, I think it might have been, Albert Einstein. It was like, you can't solve the problem you have using the same thinking that created the problem in the first place. It's kind of like the abbreviated version of it. But what happens for a lot of us is we get stuck. We get stuck in how we're in a situation. We don't know how to handle what's going on with our kid, or we don't know how to handle what's going on with our spouse, or we don't know how to handle the situation with ourselves. And if we can find a way to kind of really get clear on how we're looking at it and find another way to look at it, it can really make a difference. And I've had a lot of different ways that people have helped me to do this and exercises that I've used with clients. And it could be something as simple as saying to yourself, you know, so you're looking at a situation and, you know, say you're having a conflict with your partner, with your spouse, co-parent, whatever. And if you just stop and say, well, how do they see this situation? And just kind of really let go of your perspective and kind of see it completely from their perspective. Or the same thing with your child. And part of this is about having empathy and compassion for our kids. If you can say, well, how do they see it? What does it look like to them? That's one way to kind of look at perspective. The other thing to kind of consider when you're thinking about perspective is that a lot of times we get stuck in the way we look at things. So we make assumptions, the reality is that if our brains don't know what's really going on in a situation, our brains fill in the gaps, right? So we don't like a vacuum. And so if we don't know, so for example, if you don't know what's going to happen in the future, you're worried about a future situation, I'm going to have this conversation with my child's teacher, you know, your brain wants to fill in that with some story. And the reality is that our brains don't always tell us stories that feel really good. So let me give you a concrete example. So since I said school, it made me think of this. My son was in fifth grade, and I'm sitting at my desk in the middle of the afternoon, and I got an email from his teacher that said, "Need to talk to you after school. Can you come by?" And that was all the email said. No details, no nothing. And I was working on a deadline, and I was like, okay, send her an email back. Yeah, I can be there. And started to get back to my work. And I realized after about 10 minutes that all I could think about was this meeting with the teacher after school. And what was going to happen, and what did she need to talk to me about? And I was racking my brain going, well, did Jacob tell me anything? And what happened? And is he in trouble? And, you know, my brain just started going a million miles an hour to the point where I was completely getting in my way of doing my work. And so at that point, I kind of took my own advice and said, wait a second. I have no idea what his teacher wants to talk to me about. And here I am creating this story about what it might be about. I'm stuck in a perspective, which is, oh, my gosh, this is going to be bad. He's in trouble. And so I decided that for the next 2 hours, because I needed to, couldn't do anything about it, couldn't know what was really going on, I was going to decide that he was winning an award, and that was why the teacher needed to talk to me. You know, it was the end of the semester, awards were coming up, and she wanted to talk to me about an award that he was going to get. And it was something I was willing to consider to be true. I didn't believe it completely, but I was willing to consider it to be true. And the perspective helped me to get through the day and to get my work done so that I could, you know, get to the point where I was actually going to the meeting. My point is that, you know, we often get stuck in looking at things a certain way, and if we can find a different way of looking at it, that it can sometimes free us in terms of problem solving. Another great example here is when we look at our kids and if our kids are being, quote, unquote, bad. And I hear this a lot from my parents. It's like, oh, my kid is being disrespectful. Or, you know, they're being unkind. They shouldn't do this. It's bad. It's, you know, how could they possibly do this? And we get all worked up because our kids are disrespectful and bad. If we are willing to consider that their behavior is because of their ADHD, and this is the taking the disability perspective, if we're willing to consider that their behavior is because of their ADHD on some level, it can help us to get out of a place where we're just blaming and fixing and in threat mode, oh my gosh, I have a disrespectful child, this can't be, to, wow, my child's having a really difficult time following through on a request, how can I help them? So that shift in perspective from bad kid, from not even neurological, and we've talked about that in other instances, that perspective switch can help us to come up with some different solutions that we might not be able to if our perspective is, wow, my kid is bad, or my kid is being disrespectful. So let me just stop there for a second and see what kind of comes up for you guys with regard to this concept of perspective. Quiet. So does the concept
this is Amanda.
Okay.
Thank you. I really, 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 really needed that. I loved your examples. They were, in fact, you know, things that have happened to me very recently that I've struggled with. So that was great. I love the way that you just chose a perspective that worked for you so that it gave you what you needed for the next 2 hours. Like, you got what you needed and then just let it be what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, it does. Well, and the quote I always use, because, you know, it's all about the stories that we create. And our brains, you know, we talked about being triggered. And we get triggered by real stuff sometimes, and we get triggered by imaginary stuff a lot of times. I find that like 80% of my triggers are things that are not actually happening right now. They're either worries about the future or something that happened in the past that is re-triggering me. And so, you know, so that means it's all a story. And my quote is, if you're going to create a story, create one that makes you feel good.
I love that. That's really super.
So how does this play out for anybody else? April, can I pick on you a little bit?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So you think about, you mentioned the situation about being embarrassed over the holidays. How can this tool help you?
Well, I need to realize that if you're doing something that may not be within what people might assume would be what the standards 10-year-old might do, that I need to just say, hey, this is Nathaniel. Nathaniel has ADHD, and I need to be okay with that. I think I also need to not go in assuming that everyone's going to be good, because they are my family and they care about Nathaniel, and my pride doesn't need to get in that way of them loving him or helping him through things too.
Yeah. So, April, I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you, but what I thought you said was that, you know, what you really want to focus in on is what can help him, and that, you know, the embarrassment is something that maybe even is a distraction for you. Is that fair?
Yes, that's fair.
Okay. Well, and it's hard because I think that, yeah, you're a little fuzzy is what I would say about the way I can hear you or can't hear you. I don't know if anybody else is
okay.
Having a hard time hearing. There you go.
Hold on.
That's better. Yeah.
Okay, how's that?
That's good. That's good. And I think that that's the thing. It's like when we feel embarrassed, it's like it puts the attention on us. And sometimes it's valid, and we do want to have the attention on us. It's just a matter of figuring out in that moment, do you want to be paying attention to you in your situation, or do you want to be paying attention to your child and helping your child through what is probably a difficult moment?
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, and also just kind of like your story, not your experience, not making the assumption that everyone is thinking, if he's throwing a fit, that I'm a bad parent. You know, that's not necessarily what everyone's thinking, just because that's what I'm thinking they're thinking.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's easy to kind of picture all eyes on you. And for most of us, that's about our own judgment of ourselves. And so we're the ones that are really saying, and I'm not saying this applies to you or not, but, you know, it's like we're the ones that are saying, oh, I'm a bad parent because my kid is doing this. And it's not, you know, a lot of times our family can have compassion for us, or we can ask for compassion from our families. Sometimes it doesn't work, but you know, it's sometimes it's worth trying.
My sister-in-law is even a psychologist, so I'm not quite sure why I'm so worried. But
well, I guess the question I would ask April is, what's the real fear?
It's probably a pride issue for me because mm-hmm. I'm the oldest, and I'm the oldest by far. And you and I have talked about this before. I like to have everything together, and sometimes that's hard with Nathaniel. I can't have everything together, and accepting that is something I have to continue to shift in my mind with my perspective, that this is where we are, and having it together with Nathaniel may not look the same as my expectation was when I first had children. And I need to realize that there are days that are just not going to go the way I thought they were going to go.
Well, and I think that that's the piece, if I could reframe what you just said, was that having it all, it doesn't mean that you don't have it all together. Just it looks different. Having it together looks different with Nathaniel than it does with other kids.
Exactly.
And so if I can challenge you, you know, one of the things you could do is just to kind of, you know, affirm what are the things that tell me that I do have it together? And how will I know when I really don't? You know, so you get clear on what together looks like. What's the new normal, right? So we're defining a new normal.
Well, I think one of the things is us being, you know, fairly happy at least, you know, 60% of the day. I mean, we're not going to make, we're probably not going to make cookies and be smiling and everything, and they're not going to be decorated all perfectly or anything. We're not going to have the Martha Stewart picture, but that's okay. I need to have, if we're happy and not yelling and not screaming, then, you know, I think that's the biggest thing I'd like out of the holidays is just kind of peace and calm, not perfection.
Love that for you. I'm affirming that with you. So, Mia, I'm thinking about you and about this whole idea of taking care of yourself and helping your family manage your stress. Is there a perspective that might help you to put that more in the forefront over the next couple weeks?
I'm not sure that this perspective plan I have is necessarily aligned with maximum focus, but we've already in my head allowed that it is the holidays, and I tend to be perfectionistic, so I've already given myself permission that we're not going to make it to the gym to go swimming every time we think we will, but we're going to have a fun thing that we do every day during the holiday break, and if it's just, you know, going to the gym and getting our little pizza snack from the cafe, that's something. So just giving us permission to succeed by one baby step in the direction of exercising or holiday fun is where I think we need to be. So we're trying to remember every night. This sounds really gross. We have an elf on the shelf. Maybe we actually have two. And every night the elf is writing a little note saying one good thing the kids have done each day that's been happy or fun or something. Probably there's more creative things to do with this, but my perspective setting. So I just want to highlight that if we've done something to be healthy, whether it's actually exercising or maybe even just eating a fruit or a vegetable for dinner, all of these are baby steps on our path towards wellness, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I actually make it through an aqua aerobics class because I'm sure I'm going to get called out to the daycare for something, and that's okay. Because we made it to the gym maybe that day. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's the piece of it, is that your perspective is that you're trying to honor your goal of making healthier choices, and it's not going to always be the, you know, the Martha, back to Martha Stewart, the Martha Stewart version of the gym, whatever that would be. Would that be, I'm in the wrong generation.
Out of time, right? Not just hanging out in the shower. Yeah, no.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, well, and I think the other piece of that, and I guess I would just say that it sounds like you're already here, is getting really clear on what's important about doing something can really make the difference. And so with exercising, if you're like, I have to go to the gym, or I have to work out, or I have to do this, or I have to lose weight, I mean, there's that really intense sort of energy. But if you can look at the perspective of, you know, even like, I don't, many people in January go on a diet after the holidays. So it's like, if the perspective is I want to make healthier choices for my body, it's very different than I've got to lose weight. You know, it's just a different perspective, and you can be more productive if you have a perspective that feels lighter is the word that kind of come into me, but nicer, kinder perspective is sometimes allows you to be more productive. Does that make sense?
I agree. I spend less time beating myself up and more time acknowledging what baby step I did manage to make.
So, Jeannie, what about you? How does this perspective shift important for you? What's going on with you guys?
Well, you know, I was thinking of the whole situation. Well, this is what something happened Sunday. We go to church, and I told my husband to tell my other son, Ryan, to bring his homework with him. And he'd do it, honestly, during church because he had so much that he didn't get done Saturday because of Boy Scouts. So husband ended up bringing him to church, and Ryan didn't bring it because he's like, Mom, I have to go to kids' church. It's like every other week they have in church, and you stay in church, and then you listen to the sermon. So anyhow, he didn't bring it. And my husband kind of, he's the one actually having more of the fit, and I'm like, Ryan, why didn't you bring it? He's like, well, because I know I church, kids' church, and I can't really work there. So I let it go. So actually my husband's having an interaction, kind of being very upset with Ryan about it, and then Ryan's crying, kind of reacting to that, and I'm trying to kind of calm him down and be in the, in between both of them. My husband didn't totally blow up, but he was just angry. He was mad. Why are you supporting him? He didn't listen to me, and my husband's very authoritative. This is what you do, and even black and white, I'd say you do it, and that's the way it is. And so Ryan is very hurt, very angry, and my husband thinks I'm taking sides, but Ryan's kind of, knew that he wouldn't be able to do what he needed to do, so he decided not to bring it. And I was like, okay, then that's fine, you know. So just to not get into the reaction to the situation and to how my husband was feeling about it, and I think he's still pretty annoyed by the whole situation. It seems so small and petty, but, you know, you don't do what he wants you to do and gets pretty ticked off. So Ryan's still pretty upset and very angry and towards my husband about the whole incident, you know, but she's like, I don't even know what happened.
So Jeannie, what do you think is, let's go around the table then. What do you think your husband's perspective is of the situation?
Because he doesn't read or understand ADD at all, even though he has it, he's so... You do what I say, and that's the way it is. You are not, you know, he's not, Ryan's not listening to me. He's not respecting me. He's not doing what I want him to do. That's all he does.
Okay, and so doesn't it make sense? Are you willing to consider that it makes sense that someone who believes that it's complete disrespect would act the way that he does?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not saying it's right, but can you see that? I guess the question is, can you have compassion for that?
No, I totally understand, but he's, because he doesn't have the mindset, he doesn't realize that it's not, you know, he's not acknowledging that. I don't think this even has to do with ADD. He just kind of knew that he wouldn't be able to do it. And my husband just wants what he wants, and it's disrespect. He didn't do it, and Ryan's kind of getting really sad about it, and kind of different way of reacting to it. And I'm trying not to react and not yell or anything about it, and you know, have an argument with my
let me interrupt you again. So what if you were to take Ryan's perspective in this situation, what do you see from Ryan's perspective?
Well, he knew that he wouldn't be able to get it done, so he didn't bring it. That's it.
Okay, so let's take me a step further, but what's Ryan's perspective of the conflict with his dad?
That his dad doesn't listen to him. And he, and I said, did you speak to him about that? He's like, he wouldn't listen.
And it doesn't understand me, and he doesn't, you know, he's unkind to me. I mean, I can hear that. So what I'm hearing from you is a desire to kind of protect Ryan from that feeling. And I'm wondering, is that right?
I guess we've been around this mountain so many times, and I know my husband doesn't want to hear him, and he'll just cut him off, and because he doesn't want to hear it. He will even say, I don't want to hear it. What I say, and that's it. And he'll say, I don't want to hear you. And I know that's not right, you know.
So you're kind of getting that social injustice. What he's doing is wrong. I've got to protect the situation. I've got to protect Ryan. Is that kind of what's going on? Okay.
Yep.
Well, and so here's the thing. You just told me that you've been around the block on this a few times, and I guess the question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is it that your husband's going to wake up tomorrow and completely change his perspective?
1 to 10 being like 10, he's going to change?
Yeah, exactly. 10, he's going to change.
I'd say 2.
So you've got a problem where you've got, you know, your son has a problem because he's in a relationship with someone who doesn't understand him. Is that fair?
Yep.
Okay. So how does it, what if, and we're changing perspectives here, so play with me for a minute, will you?
Okay.
What if what's going on for Ryan is exactly what he needs right now?
To dislike his dad?
Well, to be around someone who just doesn't get him and to understand what it's like to be around somebody who doesn't get him and to figure out how to handle that.
I don't know what it's really creating. It's just creating a lot of anger and bitterness, and he's totally pushing away from his dad. He doesn't want to talk to him anymore.
Yeah. And that makes perfect sense because he's in that perspective of dad's mean, right? But I hear you say, I understand where dad's coming from. So
I understand where he's coming from, but I don't agree with him at all.
No question.
Yeah. Yeah, I know why he's doing what he's doing, but I don't agree with it because that's how he was raised the same exact way. So I know why he's doing it. I don't agree with what he's doing, and that's where the conflict is because you're not supporting that I'm doing this to Ryan, which I have a hard time supporting that.
So how can you help Ryan in this situation? Because it's clear that he's not going to wake up tomorrow and change.
Well, I told him not to give up on his dad, number one, you know, to forgive him when, you know, I know it's hard to understand. I'm just trying to pretty kind of basic. You know, he does see a counselor, and he said everything to his counselor about it, and she's trying to work with him on it also because he's very hurt, very angry, and he's like, why does he do this? And he also doesn't spend that, well, he does spend time with him. He really doesn't spend a lot of time because he's going through an addiction phase of doing something, a video game on the internet, like all day long. So he kind of dismisses himself from the family and does his own thing throughout the day, you know, when we're around him. You know, he feels kind of.
Well, and here's the challenge, Jeannie, because he's only 12. Is he almost 13, right?
He's 12.
He just turned 12. Okay. You know, he's still developmentally, he's at a place where it may be difficult for him to take a different perspective. But it might be, I would give you the challenge of really trying to find ways to help him understand the different perspective that you have. And it's not that what dad's doing is okay, but this is the way dad is. And it doesn't help to get upset about it because that's what I'm hearing you say, is that this is the way dad is. It doesn't help to get upset about it because it's not going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether you could potentially teach some of that to Ryan.
Well, I'll try, but I think there's more work than that. But I mean, that could be a small part of it, you know, Ryan.
Yeah, because you're trying to help Ryan. I mean, I think this is the thing. It's like there's a long curve to educate your husband, and it may or may not happen. And you can absolutely educate your son and help him to understand perspectives, understand, you know, and maybe the miracle in this is that by looking at his dad's ADD, it might help him to see his own.
Oh, well, he knows he has ADD. I mean, well, I think he knows his issues. He's like, I do have issues. He's trying to work on his stuff. Actually, I'm very proud of him. He's working on some other stuff, and so is my other son. So I'm like, this is kind of weird. My husband, it's not really my kids as much. They're working on their stuff. They are working on other things.
Well, keep up the good work, Jeannie. This is a tough situation to be in.
Thank you.
What about anybody else? What comes up for you in terms of other perspectives?
I like listening to you go around the table with other people's perspectives, and I was thinking that could come in really handy during the holidays, as we're going to have a lot of guests, and there could be a lot of potential drama, and just taking the moment to not just focus on understanding my kids, but also my parents, my siblings, if they seem like they're in a difficult spot, that maybe I could try to extend
the same empathy to the grown-ups in the house as to the kids.
Yeah. Well, and that ties back to kind of the creating a story. Another great example is, you know, imagine you're, and I don't know if you, how many of you guys work or have a boss, but it's like, you know, you come into work and your boss just gets really angry and frustrated with you about something. And you could immediately go to, wow, I really screwed up, or I'm a bad employee. Or you could go, wow, something must have happened to him at home today, or something must have happened on the way to work. You know, you never know what's going on with somebody else. You know, they could have had almost been in a car accident or had an argument with their spouse, or, you know, there's always something else that goes on with everybody else. And we automatically go to that sort of, wow, I must have screwed up mindset, or wow, my kid screwed up mindset. And it really is just a matter of choosing something that makes sense. The other thing I would say about going around the room is that sometimes you kind of, if you can say, well, what's the dog's perspective of this situation? And I love that because I have two dogs, and it's like they kind of hang out and just watch everything that goes on in our house. It's like, well, what would they tell us is going on right now? Or what, you know, if I was a fly on the wall, what would the perspective be that I saw? You know, just kind of looking for an out-of-the-box perspective that can help you look at the situation differently. Anything else? Does anyone want to, and we can take, you know, do a little bit of laser coaching. Is there anyone who has a pressing need? I know I've done a little bit of spot coaching on the fly here. Is there anything that folks are looking for some advice or support or coaching around?
Would you please give some more concrete examples? I'm really wrapping my mind around the different perspectives. Would mm-hmm. you mind giving one more concrete example of, like, a tough situation? And I really got a lot from listening to everybody else on the call and how you were coaching them with the perspectives. But I'd love to hear just a little bit more in practice of, in a difficult situation and you're triggered and emotional and up, and it might be a situation, you know, for example, like, I don't know, maybe I need coaching around this. You're just going to hear my 4-year-old in the background.
Okay, go for it. What's give me a challenge, Amanda.
So my husband will get triggered on something, you know, it might be something at work, or, you know, he's ADHD, and he'll come home and the house isn't the way, you know, he would ideally like it to be. Like, there's more clutter that I haven't been able to get to in the rush of my day. And he'll come in with some really, like, harsh criticism and words and tone. And my kids are, like, taking that in and taking in how he interacts with me. And, of course, when I get triggered and mad. So I would love to hear a perspective on how I can change my focus so that I can maintain more in control for myself. I loved the one where you were saying, well, like, maybe this is exactly, you know, what they need. Like, maybe this is exactly what I need to model to my kids how to behave with someone who, like, is triggered and out of control and off kilter, so that they can do that with themselves and each other. Both my kids have ADHD.
Yeah. So, Amanda, what do you know is true about someone who's triggered?
Like, they're kind of not in control of that emotion.
Right, absolutely. And in fact, there's I don't know if I talked about it in the last call, but Dr. Tom Brown did a webinar for us on hyperfocus and emotions. And it's a great webinar. He talked about particularly, you know, mean dad, you know, the dad who yells all the time, and the fact that what happens is the brain gets hyperfocused on the anger and forgets, literally loses connection with a part of them that knows that they don't want to lose their cool with their kids. So it's you know, if you know that what's going, it's kind of the same thing as naughty versus neurological. And if you can find a way to kind of look at your husband's situation and say, what if this is completely neurological instead of just a guy losing his cool, which sounds
right.
more naughty, right? You know, how would you handle the situation differently if it was, wow, my husband just got triggered and he's having a really hard time keeping his cool right now?
Yeah. I think I would maybe be more positive in my interaction with him. Like, wow, I can see that you're really triggered. And I am sorry for that. And I have this, like, I don't know, maybe I'm finishing dinner or something. And I have this thing that I'm doing, and I really want to address you and help you, respond to you. And I can do that in 15 minutes.
And what you can do in this instance, Amanda, is when he's in a time when neither of you are triggered and you're having a conversation, is, you know, say, you know, what are some of the things that I might do to help you in that moment when you do, you know, you do get so frustrated and angry? Is there something that I might be able to do that would be helpful to you? Because I know that you don't want to. I know you don't want to lose it. Nobody wants to lose it.
Adam, just go potty. You can do it.
So, Amanda's busy parenting. But so, did you hear what I said, Amanda?
Yes, I did. I did.
Okay. Right. Great. All right. So I'm gonna. Does that help?
Yes. Yeah. That did.
Okay.
That did.
Great.
Help.
So I'm gonna move on to our wrap up because we're getting close to time here, and I want to give everybody a chance to answer the four questions. So we're on page 32 of the workbook. So four questions. What did I focus on? What did I pay the most attention to in today's call? What's my clarity or takeaway from the conversation? What's the realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? So take a few minutes, answer those four questions. What did I pay most attention to? What was my takeaway? What am I going to do about it? And how do I set myself up for success? And I would love to hear from a few of you before we end up where you're going to go from here. April, you want to go first?
Sure. I think, you know, again, making sure my expectations are in accordance with what we can do was kind of, I felt I was paying a lot of attention to today. I need to remember that not to create stories that don't exist. I want to be calm, so I really do need to remember, it may sound silly to some people, but I'm hyperthyroid, so if I don't take my medication, I'm like an adrenaline machine, and right, that is a step I have to take. You know, when you're traveling, don't be dumb and forget, or I shouldn't say don't be dumb and beat myself up, but make sure I put it where I remember to take it and put some alarms on my phone so I will, so I don't, you know, I don't set myself up to fail, and really try to get to bed on time and exercise because I'm just a better mom when I do.
Great. Great way to set yourself up for success, April. Love that. Christy, what about you?
Sorry, I was a little bit.
I am going to take your advice and be easy on myself this holiday and I guess really acknowledge my own feelings to myself and then try to help Caleb acknowledge his and get curious about what he's feeling, try to ask him more questions. And it's a fine line to walk with him. If I try to talk to him too much, it can almost be a trigger. So I have to be careful how many questions I ask him. I can't get too curious or I'll actually trigger him. So finding that.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like your goal is really to support him and to help him. And if you can start with that curiosity and just say, what is it that he needs right now? And stay with that question as long as possible, because it's so easy to jump right to the answer. And we tend to jump quicker than we need to. You might come up with a different solution. It may just be he needs a hug, or he needs to play a game, or he needs to whatever else, you know, rather than talking about it.
Yeah, the perspective, I was really thinking about that, because, you know, what's behind his behavior, if I can really think about, you know, he's hurting a lot right now. So if I can take that perspective, that will help, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Mia, what about you?
I think you caught my focus with the idea of paying attention not just to my perspective but others' perspectives, and just being aware of all the different perspectives that are out there, and the dogs even better, because I do still have one dog. So that could be helpful for me as a strategy, and realizing that I need to share this. We used to play a game in our house of, what do you think that person is thinking? Try to learn empathy. And we stopped playing that game at some point for some reason. Maybe that would be a fun way to build that muscle back up, because I do it at work, but I don't do it in my private life. So I need to think about that.
Well, and it's hard, because we get in our private life, we want to fix everything. I mean, we go right to fixing, and it's easy to do that. And so create the space for not needing to fix right away, and stay in the place of, you know, what's going on. Getting curious can be really helpful. Good for you. Amanda or Jeannie, anything to add?
Not really. I think what you said, helping Ryan see his dad's perspective, which may be kind of hard. I think his counselor may have to see, help him with that a little bit more. Maybe just kind of stay out of the problem with his dad, that he really needs to learn to talk to him, even though he is a hard time. But I constantly encourage him to do that, and I know he really has a difficult time doing it. They've always butt heads since Ryan was a baby, because they're very much alike. So I know
they
have to work this out.
Well, and it sounds like you're getting him some support with a counselor, and I think that's a great thing. I would just encourage you, you know, if you don't feel like you've got the right support, you know, you reach out and you get some help for you, because it's a tough situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just single parenting, and you're parenting in a situation that feels very counterproductive to where you want to go with your parenting, and that makes it really tough.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. Amanda, what about you?
I was wiping a butt. So, I'm taking care of my kids, so I had to be quiet there. I'm going to take aim on choosing a perspective, acknowledging that there are other ones, and choosing one that works for me, that gives me what I need in that situation, irregardless of the emotional upheaval around me, and then I can respond from a different place.
Awesome. Great. Good call today, guys. We will be on in the new, I'll talk to you next year. A couple changes I want to let you know about. So you'll see information about a new way of connecting. I think we're going to hopefully get rid of free conference calling. We're going to have a new call-in situation, so you'll see that coming. And then the other thing is that we look for a holiday present from Elaine and I with regard to New Year's as well. We'll get a new thing that we're going to give you. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you yet, so I'm not going to tell you. You'll see it in an email from us. But have a fabulous vacation, and we'll talk to you all next year. And Merry Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. Happy Hanukkah if you don't, or whatever holidays you celebrate. And Happy New Year to everybody.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, thanks.